kaboshanaya. Dile bro sento la bosh kabo. Zekimando lemo sento lava. Remorondi le bro zikibabo. Rama mamandele mazon talabrash kebabo. Rema morosie. Dala bro sendo lemo shkebo. Rema morosie. Dile bravo rando lava. Rema morosiendo la moshkaba. Rema morosiendo lemo suria. Rema morosiendo lemo zekebo. Rema morosiendo lemo zuria. Ramosh kabo resie. Dile bravo randaya ele mosote ramorendo le mosokebo diriele bravo ronda la masiria remamorosie 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 remamorosiendo le moskebo remamorosiendo le mo remamorosiendo la ma ele maskebabo rasito la ba. Let me tell you this, you are looking for a miracle, but God is going to make you the miracle. You're looking for a testimony, but God is going to make you the testimony.
Amen.
There is a difference between God giving you things and God making you into something. He says, come to me, all you who are looking. Come and buy without money. He says, look unto Abraham, your father, to Sarah. When I called him, he was but one, but I made him. There is a difference between God giving you things and God making you into something. God is making you today.
Amen.
There is a making. 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 There was somebody called Jacob. He was known as a deceiver. But one day God said, I'm making you into a prince. I'm making you into a prince. Overnight, he went from being a deceiver into becoming a prince. There was one that was called Joseph. He was known as a prisoner, but overnight he will become a prime minister. There is a difference between giving you and making you. Today in this place, God is making you. He's making you. He's making you. We're in a place of destiny where God moves you from where you are to a place that He positions you towards your destination. There is a destination that He has appointed for you, and that is the work God is doing right now. Everything that has stood in your way or in your path, they will be cleared as part of that. Lift up your hand and worship God and just bless His name. Say to Him, He is Alpha and He's Omega. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. Glory be to our God. Hallelujah. Amen. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Father. You are Alpha.
You are Alpha.
We
Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Every heart in this place, we worship you. Lord, 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 we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Have the liberty to do everything that is in your heart at this time, in this moment, in the name of Jesus. Let every eyes that needs to see your glory begin to see your glory in the name of Jesus. Let every crooked path and every crooked life be made straight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you are the one who said, let there be light in the heart of men. Let there be light in every heart in this place right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let there be an elevation in the name of Jesus. Lord, we retrieve, we retrieve, we retrieve, we retrieve from wherever anything that needs to be done in this place right now, baby, we retrieve in the name of Jesus. We release, Lord, the ministry of your angels. Even now, let them go forth to wherever they need to go, to cut loose in the name of Jesus, to terminate whatever needs to be terminated in the name of Jesus. Jesus, there must be a rising. There has to be a rising. There has to be a rising. A rising up. A rising up. A rising up. Hebo shando lava. Seke bro sento la boshkava. Eleva sento le broshkevo. Sinto la broskava handaya. Elevo sinto le rekevo. Shkavo razie. Da la bozando la basote. Chiarando le boshkevo. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just say one or two things before we take off. In Genesis chapter 1 that was quoted, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord was brooding over the waters, but until the word was released, nothing happened. The Spirit was present. The reason we spend time in the Word of God is because the Spirit and the Word works together. When the Spirit and the Word comes together, it's power. Something creative is released. So we spend time in the Word so that you have the Word. Because the language of heaven is not my ideas. They speak English in England, French in France. They speak the word in heaven. Every time God wants to speak to you, he quotes something from scripture. The reason many of us don't hear God is because we don't have enough word inside us that it can use to speak. But when God wants to speak, he speaks from scripture. He'll give you a verse or something else. We don't have time today for me to go into the Jeremiah, Isaiah. If we were in Bible school, I would spend a lot more time teaching on that. If you want to hear God and you want to have power, and you want to move in power, you need the word of God inside you.
Not the one that you're going to open the Bible for. The one that he will say, I would like you to speak this out. Today, God is going to do amazing things in your life. Please have your seat. We're going to stand up again. For quite some time, as we grew up in pastoring, there are many things I wish we were taught. But we copied at what everybody else was doing. We would just spend time and pray for people. But I noticed that we pray for people, and after 3 months, they come back for the same prayer. Then sometimes after 6 months, they come back. He began to ask the Lord, what is going on here? There is a difference between you coming into an environment and being impacted, and you going away from that environment and maintaining what the Lord has done. How do you maintain what the Lord has done? How do you use this event as a platform to go forward and never go backward? For God has designed that you go forward. What he wants is that you will go forward. So when we come to a place like this, it's a place where God pulls you up and he will now say, go up. If you don't have the word inside you, you can't hear the moments of instructions. It's amazing how the Lord has been working. Almost every scripture on my list has already been spoken. So you see, glory be to God. As I was hearing the Lord, he started from a scripture that I'm going to come back to later on, but he went to James chapter 4. He says, okay, you're going to deal with this scripture. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. And what will happen? Won't you like the devil to be the one running from you instead of you being the one running from the devil? Do you know the word flee? The word used there is actually that he will run in terror. You know, it's not just running away. It's running away and screaming. And yet we have many people who come and say, the devil is after me. And I wonder, and I'm saying, it's supposed to be the other way. The demons are supposed to be complaining. This brother is after me. How is it that what should be running from you is the one that is pursuing you? Have you taken a moment to think? What should be running in terror from you is the one that is pursuing you, and you are running. And you run from here to there, and to there, and to there, and to there, and you've been running. Today is a day to stop running. Today is the day you are supposed to be what? Doing what? Pursuing and taking territory. Amazing. Matthew chapter 16. And I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not. Actually, he says the gates of hell will not withstand it. Do you know that gates don't move? Isn't it? So who is it that has gone to the gates? The church is the one that is supposed to go to the gates. And Jesus said, when we get to the gates of hell and we say we are here to take that person, or we are here to take that thing that has been stolen, gates of hell will open and say, sorry, sir. We did not know, we shouldn't have taken it. How is it that the church has become the one begging? Submit therefore to God. If we add 7 days in this place. We should spend 5 days talking about submission. Because the whole regime of God is based on that. The secret place of God is not some magical place. It's a place of submission. Submit, therefore, to God. You know, God gives us a secret. And sometimes people just ignore it and say, God, can you find another way to do it? When I became born again a long time ago, I started to pray. I said, God, I don't like this job that I'm doing. It was a horrible job. It was hindering my spiritual life. I couldn't fellowship and I wanted to grow. And I said, give me another job so I can give up this job. And God said, give up your job and I'll give you another job. I ignored the words that God had spoken. I went into fasting and praying. Lord, give me a job so I can give up this job, then I'll be able to serve you. God repeated the same thing. And for about 3 months, I kept doing the same thing. Is anybody doing that here? Put up your hand, let me see. Confess your sin quickly. Okay. After 3 months, I remember speaking to Sister Falaki. I said, there's something going on. And she said, why don't you just give up your job? I said, it's not that easy. But I remember the nights that I would say, okay, I'm not going to this job anymore. I'm not going. So I gave it up. I was only about 4 months in the Lord at that time. I knew how to fast and pray, manipulate the hands of God. But I had not known the power of submission. So after 1 week, there was no job. So I said to God, did I make a mistake or what? Fear began to come in. It was on one Wednesday, somebody said, oh, they're recruiting over there. Maybe you should go there. I remember going to the place where they sent me. And as I was entering the place, they said, well, we've just taken the last person. It felt horrible. Felt, well, maybe I've made an absolute mistake. Well, you got to pay rent. You got to pay all of those things and pay all of those things and pay all of those things. As I was walking away from that same place, they said, well, maybe you should go to somewhere at Clapham Junction. They're recruiting there. I had no other option anyway. There was nothing I was doing at home. So I might as well go to Clapham Junction. So I went to Clapham Junction and I remember walking, going into the building and in a guy, Terry, was coming out. Tall. He looked at me and said, you are looking for a job. I said, yes. He said, come and start tonight. He just looked at me. Said, you're looking for a job. Come and start tonight. I started that job that same night. I did not complete the application. It was 2 weeks after I completed application and all of those things. There is a God in heaven. Submit therefore to God. Submit. I can tell you stories of that later on. After a few years, I remember after learning that lesson, going for a particular job somewhere in North London. And I was offered the job. Where I was terrible. And I hated the place. I've been praying for 2 years for the Lord to find me another job in that place. Get me out of that place. And there was an opportunity. I went for this job. It gave me big increase in salary. It gave me a car. I was coming home celebrating. I was about to get out of bus 53 when the Lord said, you won't take it. I said, sorry, sir. I need to take it because where I was like a prison. People had been brought in and promoted over me 3 times.
No salary increase. Actually, I got a salary increase of £500 every year for 4 years. But the Lord said, you won't take it. I remember getting into the house with tears in my eyes. Lord, what is going on with my life? Why are you doing this? But you see, we never understand what God is doing because we can't see the following day. If you can see the following day, sometimes we can't see the following year. If you can see the following year, sometimes we cannot see 5 years and 10 years down the line. He had a plan. I did not know the plan. I just knew my needs. I did not know the plan. He was taking me to a destination. And I was just following my needs. I have a need right now, Lord. I want to fix it. He is taking me to Glasgow. But there's a need that I need to fix. And that need is taking me to Brighton. And God is saying, you can't go to Glasgow through Brighton. That will be going back. You need to be heading in the direction of your destiny. For the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. And it shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Submit, therefore, to God. You are here today. When worship, God spoke to me about some of you. You know you have made mistakes. You disobeyed the Lord and you moved back. As a result, we're going to pray. Because God has ordained to restore you today. But you must know that you need to walk in a place of submission to Him. He has designed a destiny, a destination for you. Glory be to God. Am I making sense to somebody? Are you hearing me? Praise be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Man can write off. God is able to do whatever he needs to do. Glory be to God. Throughout the week, Psalm 105 was in my heart. I read it in the Living Bible. It says, until the word of Lord was fulfilled, it says, God tested the character of Joseph. Can I trust him? Living Bible translation, you can read it. Should we read it? Yes. Psalm 105. Until the word of God was fulfilled, God was saying, I'm about to entrust you with something really big. I'm about to entrust you with something really big. I must know that you can handle it. Another one says, God built character into Joseph. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Praise be the name of the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. The Living Bible, I'm just looking for it on this computing thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, verse 19. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Was testing him. Can I trust him? Can I trust him? Can I trust him? You see, there's a time when God comes and says, I want to trust you with something big. Can you handle it? Or will you fail me? Integrity. And for some of you, he's preparing you for the place that he wants to appoint you. And you are wondering, why am I still here? He's preparing you for where he wants to appoint you. That's why in Galatians that was quoted, he said, as long as a child remains a child, he is no better than a slave. Because you cannot entrust the treasure of the house to a child. Can you imagine somebody who has jets and loads of cars, but he has this son who is 18 years old. And the son is not responsible. Will he hand over the key to the jet, to the son? You need to understand that God is building character in you.
Second Peter also spoke about it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We're going to rise up because we need to deal with those of you who have made mistakes that the Lord spoke about in a moment. God is good. God wants to do a work of restoring. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory. Through this He has already given us. So He says in verse 5, because He has given us everything, maybe you are not experiencing it, but He needs to build character in you before He will let you enter into what He has given you. For this reason, in order for you to accelerate your entrance into the things that He has given you, in order for you to possess, in order for you to take possession, I read about a family in England. I can't remember the family, but they're one of those really aristocratic family. The wealth they left behind was something like 800 million pounds. A few years ago, I read that the son who inherited that had a drug problem and the entire 800 million vanished. How about God entrusting that kind of money into somebody's hand? We know families. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Goodness and to goodness, knowledge and to knowledge, self-control and to self-control, perseverance and to perseverance, godliness and to godliness, brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities and they are increasing in you, these qualities and what God has given you, they will make sure that you are effective and productive and fruitful in everything. It's not just power. There is your character. It's your character. Hallelujah. Rise up with me. Let's deal with those. You know you made a mistake. God gave you instruction. God spoke to you. God directed you. Whether it was yesterday or years ago, it doesn't really matter. There's something God wants to do here. He wants to lift every one of us to a particular level. And then from there on, you go forward in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All you need to do is have a business with God for 1 or 2 minutes and say, Lord, yes, You said this to me. You directed me like this, but I did not follow. I am asking You in the name of Jesus, forgive me and today renew me and restore me in the name of Jesus. Can you begin to pray? Father, we thank You and bless You. We bless You. We bless You. It doesn't matter whether you married somebody you shouldn't have married, whether whatever it is, God wants to give you another beginning. God wants to give you another start. Just as He gave Peter, we have been told in John chapter 21, He gave him another start. God wants to give you another start today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But you are saying, Lord, I enter into that place and I receive the power to walk in submission in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Haleboshka barando laba zekemonde ye didi ala brosento la broshkaba re mama manele mosonte kiara broshkaba re mamorosie ele mosuria rasinto labo amorendo le moshkebo. Now you are going to begin to say, Lord, whatever I have lost as a result of that disobedience, whatever I have lost as a result, Lord, begin to bring them back in the name of Jesus. Begin to
will bring them back in the name of Jesus. Every connection, every opportunity that I might have lost as a result of that, we're going to bring them back in the name of Jesus. 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 We're going to bring them back in the name of Jesus. We're going to bring them back in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kemarando la boshkaba de lemosento la brashkebo elevasonte kiarabrosekebo ramorendo lemoshkebo rimamorosie alabo santo la brasekebo elemasontaya lava rimamorosie raboshkebo zikorando la basento ilia la brasekebo rimamorosie. If it's concerning your child, no matter what the effect may be, you need to call the name of that child and say to that child, come back in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. For the prodigals shall return. In the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Before we move to any next one, I want to bring you into a prayer. It's in Psalm 23. Most of you know it by heart. But there are two prayers I want to bring, and then we're going to sit down. Psalm 23. David was in a difficult situation, but he will write this. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. There are three prayers I want to bring to you. Before I do that, I want you to notice David says, he leads me. Not that he led me. He leads me. Every time you find S in front of words like that, it means it's something that is happening regularly. It's a continuous thing. David says, he leads me. I never lead myself. He leads me. He guides me. He leads me. He makes me to lie down. But the first phrase is this, the Lord is my shepherd. That means he's a sheep, not a goat. How many of you have ever seen goats before? One thing about goats is this, they never listen to nothing. You say turn left, you are guaranteed they're going to turn right. But sheep are different. David said, I have entered a relationship with the Lord. I'm a sheep to him. I'm not a goat. So God constantly comes throughout the day and he says, turn right. And I just turn right. Turn left. And I just turn left. He says, sit there. And I just sit there. He says, this every time. It is not in the morning. Sometimes as he's driving. Sometimes as he's cooking. Sometimes every time. The Lord is constantly leading. What does that tell you about David? He has a connection with the Lord 24 hours of the day. He's not somebody that has morning devotion and walks off. He is living in the realm of the Spirit 24/7. He is in the presence of God every time.
He's never outside of the proximity of hearing the voice of God. The Lord is my shepherd. God doesn't force you to submit. You are the one that will say, I place myself at the altar. Now empower me to walk in submission to you. I place myself at the altar. The place of power is the place of submission. I place myself at the altar. Now empower me. The Lord is here to empower you like he empowered Peter, so that you'll be able to walk in that territory and you will hear instructions in the name of Jesus. That's what David, that's the life of David. Glory be to God. Now begin to pray, Lord, empower me in the name of Jesus to walk according to your instructions day and night in the name of Jesus. Empower me, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, day and night, I want to walk in the place of your power, in the name of Jesus, in the place of submission, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Empower me, Lord. Empower me, Lord. Empower me, Lord. Empower me, Lord. Empower me, Lord, to walk in that place of submission always in the name of Jesus. 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 Beloved, let me show you an example in the life of David. We're told that David came back one day and his wife and children and all his properties had been stolen. Everything had been taken. And the wife and the children and properties of his men had all been taken. And the men were saying, we will kill you today. The Bible says, David was sad for his own wife, for all the things he has lost. But worse, people that he had loved and cared for were turning against him. David did not rush out. The Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord. How do you inquire when you have lost everything? Emotions are running high. You're thinking, Lord, what do I do in this kind of situation? But it's somebody that has been disciplined to inquire. I don't do anything without instruction. David had been taught. David had been disciplined himself. I must know what is in the heart of God before I move. David knew that. If I was David, inquired of the Lord. It takes a level of discipline to inquire of the Lord when you have lost everything. Some of us will just throw ourselves down. We'll be weeping. We'll be crying. I saw somebody lost a job the other time. They could not bother to inquire of nothing. David lost wife, children, houses, everything. They were going to stone him to death. He said, I have learned a secret. I must inquire of the Lord. Today, you're receiving the grace to inquire of the Lord. Every time you are receiving that grace, lift up your hand, because God is going to empower you in the daytime and the nighttime. Your heart will begin to say the same thing like David. I must inquire of the Lord in the name of Jesus. This is not about calling somebody else. This is about you. He's simply saying in your heart, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you have the discipline to stay where you are until the Lord gives instruction. Lord, release the power and the discipline to be able to inquire of you in every situation, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. We're just going to pray for one or two people. There may be more. But as we're just praying that prayer, the Lord, I saw a flash of something resurrecting.
I just saw a flash of something resurrecting for that person. I saw two actually, but I believe it is not just one. Whoever you may be, whatever has died, whatever you have already forgotten about yourself, whatever it is, the Lord has a way of resurrecting. Today, it's going to be resurrected. If it's a physical part of you, it's going to be resurrected. If it's your purpose in life, it's going to be resurrected. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hand and begin to cry, Lord, resurrect everything that you want to resurrect in me, in the name of Jesus. Resurrect everything you want to resurrect for me, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we release the power of resurrection in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Let there be life in the name of Jesus. Life in the body, life in the mind, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Have your seats for just 1 or 2 minutes, and I will be done in a moment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Before I finish, I want to just bring you to a place that is called destiny. Destiny. Everybody say destiny. Destination and destiny, they go together. Isn't it? You left your house this morning, and this was where? Your destination. Isn't it? So when we use the word destiny, we're also talking about what? Destination. The point of arrival. When we fly from here to New York, the plane will travel for several hours, but our destination is New York. When we forget our destination, something terrible begins to happen. There is a destination for you and I that we must never forget. The Bible speaks about it. And this destination, they are in different stages. I am going to start with the final destination. Then we're going to come to other destinations. Glory be to God. Somebody say amen. In Revelation 21, the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old one had completely passed away. For the old heaven and the new earth had disappeared completely. This one, this earth, and the current heaven, by the time God gets to Revelation 21, they are no more. Just as we read in Genesis that God created earth and heavens, in Revelation 21, the Bible tells us that God creates again. The Bible is not speaking of just one creation. It's speaking of two creations. We are used to Genesis as creation. But there's another creation in Revelation 21. And our destination, the final point of arrival for everyone who belongs to God, is the new heaven and the new earth. Anyone that doesn't make that is lost forever. If you have all the money in this world and all the children in this world, if you have everything in this world and you don't make it into that new heaven and new earth, you add nothing. For that is our destination. That's our real destination. That's the final destination. Glory be to God. Many of us
I've not really engaged that destination. You see, if you have seen what the destination looks like, you'll be excited about it. Most of us don't know what it looks like. You know, have you imagined children when they're going to Disneyland? The excitement that is in their heart. Have you ever, really? Or a person that is getting married or having a birthday, they have something they're looking forward to. Isn't it? They have something so far away, it may be 1 year away. I have somebody, as soon as we finish one birthday, she start planning for the next one. He says it's 365 and 362 and 256 and it's 7 months. There is a destination. And that destination is what God has called you and I to. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible tells us that all of the heroes of faith, they had a very vivid vision of that destination. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, it says, Moses thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own all the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to the destination. There's something amazing, incomparable with where we are now. In 2 Corinthians, he says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It is yet to enter into the minds of men what God has prepared for those who love him. He's talking about the destination. Everybody in the Bible that caught a glimpse of the destination, they lost interest on earth. Every one of them. The worst suffering that I've seen or read about is Job. Job suffered. How many of you have read about Job? Okay, you should read about Job. Job suffered hugely. In one day, he lost his business. The second day, he lost his business and his children. The second time around, he became sick. So sick that he could not sleep. And in that suffering, his wife looked at him and said, it would be better if he just died. If it was our days, we would say, it would be better for him to commit euthanasia. And just be given an injection and die. In Job chapter 19 or 17, there's a scripture we quote very well. I know that my Redeemer lives. How many of you know that? You quote it. Actually, you don't quote the relevant bits. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Even though I die, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I will see him, not another. And then he went on, he says, this excites me. Should we read it? Job, in his suffering, said, everybody was saying, you should die, you should do this, you should do that. He said, do you know what keeps me alive? Do you know what I'm excited about? I'm excited about the fact that I'm going to see my Redeemer. All of you are thinking of what I've lost. Everybody preaches about what Job has lost. Job was saying, I am excited about what? About seeing the Redeemer. Job, let's quickly read it, because I'm going to finish in a moment. Your destination. The devil will seek to rob people of this wonderful blessing that we have. Verse 25. Oh, I know that my Redeemer lives. That in the end, look at that prophetically, he will stand upon the earth. Job saw the day that Jesus will come back. He goes on, after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Job saw his own resurrection. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another will see him. My heart yearns for this. I'm excited about this. I desire this destination. There is a destination that is far beyond what you and I have ever known, that God has prepared for you and I. Am I making sense to somebody? There's a destiny that God has called us into. When we don't know that destiny, things that should not be important becomes important. We begin to scramble for things that will be destroyed, with men that will be destroyed. Am I making sense to somebody? I don't know whether you're hearing me. I'm about to finish. Praise God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you read the old book of Hebrews, you will read of people who refused to be released because they had seen the destination. You will read that. Jesus speaks about it every time. There is a destination which is the new heaven and the new earth. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, without a vision, people perish. And Jesus says they live carelessly. If you don't know where you are going, the excitement will leave your heart. You're no longer excited. Proverbs chapter 29. When you forget this destination, it says the cast off restraint. When you forget, people run wild. There are those that saw the destiny and they said, wow, Lord. Paul so saw it, he said, I don't know whether I should remain, I should go. People are fighting over money and over things and over this. And Paul is saying, I've seen something far beyond this. I really don't want to be here. Hebrews 11 verse 38. It says something like this. God said that this world is terrible and you are too good for this world. Have you read that before? Hebrews 11. Let's go and read it. God said you are too good for this world. If God says you are too good for this world and you are fighting to keep this world, what does that say about you? I showed our children who have never been to Nigeria a picture of a place in Lagos. I showed them Morocco. It has changed now. I know they've moved it on. Yeah, they've demolished it. But the old pictures are still on the internet. So I brought the pictures out. For those of you who don't know, it is the slum of the slum. It's a slum that you cannot imagine. Am I making sense? Where you are living in the same place that you defecate. You understand that? So I was showing them that. Can you imagine somebody who lives in that place and is offered an opportunity to come and live in Windsor? And he says, I'll just stay here. That's what Christians are like when they fight for this world. This world is no different to Morocco in the eyes of God. It's a world that he plans to destroy. The whole book of Revelation is about how God will eventually destroy and tear up this entire creation. And he calls us. He says, I want you to come and take a glimpse of what I'm doing. Hebrews chapter 12 says, you have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched. Let's read Hebrews 11 first before I move. As I said, Hebrews 11, hallelujah, amen and amen. Are you hearing something? Are you getting something from this? Glory be to God. Amen. Hebrews 11 verse 38. Somebody read it. What does it say? Of whom the world was not worthy. Yes, these guys were in desert, they were in mountains, and God says, the world doesn't deserve them. In dens and caves, they were wearing, some of them did not have clothes, and God said, look my son, look my daughter, I put you on earth, not because the world deserves you, because I have an assignment for you. If your father, the millionaire, sends you to Morocco, that's got to be either a terrible punishment or an assignment. Am I making sense? There's a place in India called Chennai as well. It's a terrible place. If your father sends you to that place, it's either a terrible punishment that he hates you, because he's already planned to demolish the place anyway and rebuild it. Revelation 21. I'm going to rebuild the earth. So this earth is going to go. It's like Morocco now, isn't it? It's been cleared. It's going to be rebuilt. If I now send my son into that territory, I can only send my son to that place because to go and tell the people living there that I'm going to rebuild it. I'm not sending my son to go and live in Morocco and enjoy. What is there to enjoy? In slums. And God says, the world does not deserve them. It's like Bill Gates saying, I've sent my son to Morocco. Morocco doesn't deserve my son. You don't need to be explaining, isn't it? That one doesn't need explanation. And yet there are so many believers, because they have not seen the destination. They're fighting for a room in Morocco. Are you going to stand up and pray? Say, God, open my eyes. God, open my eyes. Ephesians chapter 1. Ever since I heard of your faith, I've not stopped praying that God will open the eyes of your understanding in the name of Jesus. The world doesn't deserve them. God didn't leave you in the world because he hasn't got an alternative. He didn't leave us here so we can fight over the same things that everybody is fighting for. He left us here because we have an assignment. We have a job to do. That's why we are here. We are here to take people out of this place into the new territory, into the new earth, into the new heaven. That is why we are here. There is a destination. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes. Let me begin to pray for the church. Say, Lord, open our eyes in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Raboshkaba. The world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of them. Father, we thank you. Let me just say one more thing and then I'm going to finish. Please have your seats. Have you got that into your spirit? Do you understand that? That God is creating a new heaven and earth, and you need to see. If you catch a glimpse of it, you will lose interest in this world. People will beg you to stay in this world. You are the one that will be saying, I want to go. And God will be saying, can you stay? Because I've still got work for you. Am I making sense? When you catch a glimpse of it, you lose the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, he came to save them all their life. have been enslaved by the fear of death. Fear is a prison. Whatever you are afraid of will make you a prisoner. The Lord will free you in Jesus' name. You need to keep praying. That's the biggest prayer. Lord, let me continuously see the destination. It's like a bride who forgets the day of her marriage. Can you imagine? When you are looking forward to the day of marriage or the day of something, there's excitement in your soul. And the closer that date, the closer, the greater the excitement. When is it going to come? When is it going to come? So, but when we forget where we are going, there's no excitement. It just becomes the same old thing. We're going to church again. We're going to this again. We're going to this. Another meeting. It has no purpose. It makes no sense anymore. And because the church has been distracted to forget. That is the ultimate destination. God is not looking to keep this world. He's looking to remove it, uncreate it, including all the stars. When the Bible says nothing is pure, nothing in this whole creation is pure in God's sight. He's going to recreate everything altogether. So you and I need to start from there. That is our destination. Glory be to God. But there is another two destinations for you and I. Praise God. The Bible says that it is also my destination to become like Christ. Romans chapter 8. For those he foreknew, he did what? He predestined to become like Jesus. You got a destiny in the new creation. You got a destiny in becoming like Christ. I'm just going to say the other destinations that we have got. Never lose this focus. If you ever lose the focus on the destination, you get lost. Your Christianity becomes just, well, so-so. There's no excitement. There's no passion. Hallelujah. You become demoralized. Praise God. Can you imagine that we're going, we went to Disneyland once, and I remember that somebody woke up at 3 a.m. Oh, is it 5 o'clock yet? No. Is it 5 o'clock yet? Have you ever seen children before? When you say we're going somewhere, the night before. Really? They hardly sleep overnight because they sleep at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the night and they wake up at 1 a.m. Daddy, is it 5 o'clock yet? No, go to bed. And then 1 hour later they wake up again. Is it 5 o'clock yet? No, go to bed. Why? Because they have excitement. Where is the excitement in your life? For he is coming for those who are passionately expecting him. The destination is beautiful. It's amazing. Glory be to God. Never lose focus. Make sure you pray until it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer to you. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Another destination is who you are going to become. Hallelujah. There is one more destination. It's concerning your work on earth. There is a destination for you while you are alive. The work you are supposed to do. And the Lord says it in many ways. So he says, I didn't leave you in Morocco for you to be having parties. What party am I going to enjoy there? What food? I put you there in order to get as many people out of the place before the bulldozers come in. The bulldozers will be coming in. So I put you there to get as many people out of the place, to bring them into safety. And then somewhere along the line, you might find somebody who is sick and they don't have strength to get out. Oh, then you lay hands on them. Isn't it? And you raise them up to their feet and say, get out of this place. The bulldozer is coming. And there'll be somebody who says, I haven't got money. Okay, fine. We are doing this work. What is that destination? There's a destination for your life while you are on earth. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, for we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. You are to be an ambassador for Him. Am I making sense to you? So just two more prayers we're going to pray. I've talked about three destinations. There's a destination which is the new heaven and the new earth. There's a destination for your growth. You are supposed to become like Christ. Every one of us. There is none of this statement, that's just the way that I am. God knows that's the way you were. But He has saved you. Now He wants you to become like Christ. He wants to mold you into the image of His Son. Number three, He has given you an assignment to make sure that His kingdom and His work is established here. Are we together? Is that clear? I can see a few people who understand. If you understand, put up your hand and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rise up on your feet. Let us pray. We have only been able to touch bits and pieces of this. But when you know and you have clarity of this destination, believe me, your life is a different life. Some people will be talking about some things and you'll just be wondering, these people don't know what they're talking about. You know, imagine sitting down. For those of you who don't know Morocco, I wish we had internet, I would have showed you the picture of Morocco. Then you know why you should never desire to ever really try to even enjoy the place. The moment you know that is it, you know why you are here. Am I making sense to you? If you find that your heart is not yearning for that, there's another prayer for that. But there are those that want us to focus on being comfortable in Morocco. Are you going to be comfortable in Morocco? We are in the world, but we are not of this world. We were sent here. We are foreigners in this place. That's the whole of 2 Peter. Lift up your hands to God. Say, Lord, I want to reach the destinations for my life. I want to reach the destinations for my life. I want to grow and become like your Son. I want to grow in power. I want to grow in attitude. I want to grow in character into the image of the Son. Father, release your power inside me in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray for yourself. He has called you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit to grow into the image of the Son of His love. Father, release your power today in the name of Jesus. 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 Release your power, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Release your power, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Release your power, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Release your power, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Release your power, Lord. in the name of Jesus. Release your power, Lord, that we will begin to see the destinations for our lives in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Release your power, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Now, there's this scripture that touched me so much every time I read it. David almost lost his focus on the destination. Everything he went through, he's the one that wrote, "I see the Lord by my side." He's the one that wrote, "The Lord said to my Lord." He saw the destination. David would say in Psalm 73, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. When I began to envy the prosperity of the arrogant and the wicked." Those who were wicked and are arrogant, but who were prosperous, they began to attract me. If you have been attracted by something like that, the power of God will free you. In the name of Jesus. David said, I shifted my focus from the Lord. The Bible is always just looking unto Jesus. But he stopped looking unto Jesus. He started looking at the wicked. He says, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy. They are free. They are living like this. They are walking in pride. But they are food. And they are scoffing. And they are enjoying. And this and that. And in verse 13, David said, "Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure." That's a terrible statement. I've been walking with the Lord just for nothing. The terrible feeling. When a believer gets it and says, "Why have I been a believer all these years? Things has not changed. In vain have I been walking with the Lord." The first thing that happened to him was he lost his focus. You regain your focus today. You regain your focus today. He says, he was saying, "Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure." Why didn't I just kill Saul when I had that opportunity? Because he lost his focus. Today you are gaining that focus. Day and night, God will reveal to you your destination in the name of Jesus. But it says, when I tried to understand this question, it was oppressive. It's not something that you can understand by logic. In Psalm 17, it says, when I tried to understand, it was oppressive for me until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understand the final destination of the wicked. Then I stopped to envy them. You're going to pray, "Lord, take me into your sanctuary. Take me to your dwelling place. Let me dwell there," like David said in Psalm 23, "Surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord." Take me to your dwelling place. Keep me in your dwelling place. Help me to dwell where you are in the name of Jesus, that I may see things the way they are, that I may see things clearly in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We give you praise. 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 Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus and begin to worship him. 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 Thank you, Father. We bless your name. Hallelujah. I'd like you to just be quiet for 1 or 2 minutes. The Lord is going to give you a picture. He's going to give you a word. They'll feel like thoughts in your heart. Whatever it is that the Lord is saying to you is going to be a declaration or a prayer.
Thank you, Father. Now you're going to open your mouth. If it's a declaration, you're going to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you either say, I receive this, or I declare that this would happen, or I declare that this would not happen in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to pray. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Begin to pray. We bless you. 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 For the weary, I see that the Lord is pouring water back into your life. You have felt dry for very long. The Lord is renewing you. There is a refreshing that is coming forth in the name of Jesus. It's not just for you. It is for many that are around you, because you are not the only one that is in that situation. So as you receive, pour out, and more will be poured into you in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name and we give you glory. We bless your name and we give you glory. We bless your name and we give you glory. We bless your name, Lord. If you're someone, whatever may be wrong with your tummy, whatever it is, but it's the area of your abdomen, put your hands upon it. And you're going to speak to every cell and every tissue and every organ in that place. You're going to speak to it. If you have brought a situation here that concerns somebody's tummy or womb, you're going to put your hands upon your own tummy. And you're going to speak that every cell and every organ in that territory will begin to function as God wants them to function perfectly in the name of Jesus. Strength is released into those organs. Perfection is released into those organs in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Together we decree wholeness in the name of Jesus.
For more information on the Prevailers Church Prayer Network, her prayer line conferences, and other programs, please contact, if you're in the UK, Pastor Helen Folakemi Ajimati, the PCPN coordinator, on 079-315-40529, or Pastor Dima Ajimati, the PCF founder and senior pastor in Oshogbo, Nigeria. Our email addresses are schoolofpurposeonair@gmail.com or pcpncoordinator@gmail.com. You can also search and join us via our Facebook page. Search for Prevailers Church Prayer Network. And if you're looking to fellowship with us in Nigeria, please join us at the Prevailers Church Prayer Network, the back of Lavard Motors, beside Akinola Chemist, Okefia, Oshogbo, Osun State, Nigeria. Our service times are Sundays 10 a.m. and Tuesday 6 p.m. for the School of Purpose.